Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Upbeat Dietitians podcast. We wanted to let you know we're taking a quick four-week break before we go into season six. We are going to be revisiting for the next 4 weeks past favorite episodes that you guys have seemed to like a lot. So if you haven't listened to them yet, now's your chance. If you have listened to them, it's always good to revisit. It may have been a while. They are going to be some throwbacks. So hopefully that can be a good way to spark your memory. And then we'll be back with a brand new episode for season six on April 5th.
In the meantime, besides listening to these episodes, we highly recommend going back and listening to old episodes that you might not have gotten around to. Additionally, make sure to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And then we're getting back into the blogging game. So be sure to check out the upbeatdietitians.com where we'll be posting all new blogs throughout. And we'll see you back in April. Enjoy.
Enjoy. See you in April.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Hannah.
We are best friends and dietitians. We have a goal of challenging nutrition misinformation and fitness trends with an evidence-based approach.
Each episode, we will dish up our thoughts about the latest facts on a popular health-related topic.
We're the Upbeat Dietitians. Hey everyone, Emily here. I wanted to quickly jump in here and kind of, Hannah and I did not prep an intro for today because, or at least this episode, because if you listened to last week's episode, you know that we kind of got carried away and we were originally going to talk about thin privilege and both fat phobia in kind of one episode, but us being us, we got a little carried away, recorded for a lot longer than we anticipated. So we decided after that we'd cut these episodes into, or we'd essentially split the episode into two. So if you've not already listened to our episode about thin privilege, go check out that one. It was last week's. Otherwise, today we're going to get into kind of fat phobia, the issues around fat phobia, and yeah, stuff like that. So thanks for tuning in again and bearing with us and all of that, and enjoy the episode.
Second half. So welcome to the second half of the episode.
You guys thought we were fired up. This might be like the second two-thirds because that was just the intro.
I think we've already been going for like 40 minutes.
I know.
This is a take your snack break, take your water break. I mean, you could still be eating.
The podcast I listen to, they like the host, they do take snack breaks like twice an episode. And they like go to the bathroom, they have like a little like jingle that plays.
Okay, I was like, what happens during?
And like commercials will play in between.
That's smart, yeah. That's kind of fun.
I know, it's cute. But, like, let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Take your break anyway. Right now. before we get into the second half of today's episode. And this is something I think I'm much more, not to say I'm not passionate about like issues with thin privilege and how people, how society emphasizes that. But fat phobia is something that is just really grinds my gears. So
it's so prevalent. When you're on social media regularly, you see this so much. It's insane.
People have, I always tell Hannah, I have no chill, but people have absolutely no chill. I've had so many people just say like, I'm proud to be fat phobic. And I'm like,
yes.
Like, do you want a gold star? Yes. Like, what do you want me to applaud for you? Congratulations, you're a terrible person. Like, if you're proud, like, I will 100% admit, 10 years ago, I probably had some internalized, like, underlying fat phobia.
Because
I, yeah.
Even before I became, like, teenager, even in college.
Yeah. Like, I was, we were taught certain things, but, like, if you reflected, and I would, but I would never say I was proud to be fat phobic. I would never say that. I was like, no, whatever. But let's just get into it. Let's get into it because I already know that we're going to talk about a lot with this. So fat phobia is essentially the fear and hatred of fat bodies. And this isn't like you're scared of fat people. Like it is not, it is like the fear of gaining weight. And being in a larger body. That is what it means. And it, and Mary Himmelston, and actually an assistant professor at Kent State University, said something really good. I wanted to quote her on this. She said, "Fatphobia encompasses a whole bunch of things, namely weight bias and weight stigma, such as the idea that we see people of higher body weight as lazy, unintelligent, or disgusting." And additionally, she mentioned that people who, there's this perception that people who are fat just sit around and all day and eat. Yes. And then yes. also kind of with further, she goes into talking about how fatphobia perpetuates these negative stereotypes and that it can lead to discrimination against people with higher body weight.
Yes. I literally got a DM yesterday from someone and I forget how it came up, but she was, people always send me these great DMs, like with their life story, saying like how they've been treated and they're finally getting out of diet culture, yada, yada, yada. I just love it. But I forget how, like, why she brought it up or how she brought it up, but she's saying exactly that, like, because she is in a larger body, everyone assumes that she's just like sitting around all day eating Twinkies and pizza, where she's like, no, I actually have a pretty bad appetite. I like don't actually eat that much. Yes. And I hear that one all the time.
Yeah.
Working in weight management, I hear that daily. They're like, yeah, I actually don't really eat at all.
No, and because it's not, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not just calories in, calories out, as
yes.
oh, so many people think. It's not. It's, we've talked about this so many times.
Yes. I just posted a YouTube video. It's up right now if you're listening when this comes out, on the whole calorie deficit thing.
Oh my gosh.
I can't handle it.
We'll if link it.
One
we'll
more link person.
It we'll so link you it. Can go.
Calories are not the only thing that matters.
No.
And so that's why telling or assuming that someone who is in a larger body that they are just eating a ton of calories 24/7 is not actually what's happening.
It's
maddening.
It makes me so mad.
I'm infuriated right now. This is the first bullet point. Okay.
I know. I wanted to get into one other quote, though, that I really liked. So many people had all these really good things to say about fatphobia, and I was like, I want to give them the kudos.
Yeah.
So, Virgie Tovar, I apologize if I say your name incorrectly. They are an author, and they're actually a host of another podcast, The Rebel Eaters Club. I've never heard of that, but very cool. Check them out. But they said that fat phobia is a form of bigotry and a form of discrimination that says that people of higher weight are inferior physically, intellectually, morally, and health-wise. I just feel like that sums up fat phobia so well.
Yeah.
And it's so bad. It's so prevalent.
It's everywhere.
And people are just so more bold about it.
Yes. And it's like not every body size, but any like level of a relatively larger body is going to get some kind of hate, which is even more frustrating. Like even someone who is insanely healthy, but just happens to like, okay, what I'm thinking of, for example, is like, I am on like Fit Talk a lot, like just fitness people. Cause I'm a personal trainer. I like have a lot of people in my
algorithm. That I feel like I'd be scared to be there.
It can go either way. It can be very body positive or it can be very fatphobic. But I see a lot of like weightlifters who are female, who are like jacked, really great shape besides the way their body looks. Like they actually are just very healthy people, but they weigh like 200, 220 pounds and they mention their weight and everyone like freaks out.
Yes. Yes. This has been a trend recently.
Yes.
Where like the like women who are over 200 pounds are showing what their body looks like.
Yes.
I like the trend, but like people freak out.
Yes. Because of some dumb number. Like these women can bench press 300 pounds. Like you think that just because their number on the scale is over 200 means they're not healthy? Like,
no.
Ugh.
There is a TikToker. I'm forgetting her name. I think it's Alona or Lania or something, but she's an Olympian. She's a rugby Olympian. Went and competed at the Summer Olympics, like the highest level of athleticism. Yes. made the team, went and performed, and she weighs, like, I think she said 205 pounds recently, and she showed some of the DMs she's gotten. Atrocious.
Yes.
They're like, you need it. Like, you should take off some of that weight. Like, you look so, like, you're carrying so much weight. Like, you could lose, you could afford to lose a couple pounds. She's an Olympic athlete.
She plays rugby. She's not meant to weigh 115 pounds. Like, she'd be a terrible rugby player if she did.
Yeah. Oh. And it's just like
those 200 pounds could crush you. And I hope that she does crush you.
She could probably throw them.
Yeah.
I hope. Like, they wouldn't stand a chance against her.
If people and, comment like, this, like, I don't want to stereotype. I'm not going to say anything mean. Never mind. But they have no place to be saying these things.
I was having a similar thought. I was like, you could never be in her place. Like, the Olympics never was considering you.
Yes, exactly.
No, you're not never Olympic rugby. You didn't even make it past pressing. Like high school. No,
you were in JV basketball. This is an Olympic rugby player.
That's what I was going to say. Gosh. You weren't even considered for collegiate sports.
Like, D3 tops. Like,
like, you're not the audacity to think you can go after an Olympian or these people who can lift twice as much as you, or like,
for the sole fact that her body is 200 pounds.
Like, that's
not even because of anything, like any other reason. That's the only reason you don't like her. Well, this isn't about fat phobia, but I'm sure you saw my comments, Emily, about how I'm a bad dietitian because I'm not like jacked.
I actually haven't seen those of yours.
It's on that one with Gobbledygook when he went after me for 24 hours. The comments are like,
on that one. Yeah.
They're like, why would I trust you? You're just some dangly whatever.
Which,
like,
first of all, not.
Right. Two things. I like show my head up in most of my TikToks. So you're basing that off of the way my face looks. Sorry, I don't have like a chiseled like monster jaw that like is just built of muscle. Yeah, Second of all, I wear like baggy clothing most of the time. Like, you have no idea what my body looks like. And I don't often show it for that reason, because
people I don't make need assumptions that. About you. And
yes,
like,
they literally said I'm a bad dietitian for the sole fact of, based on my head, I don't have the body to be giving nutrition advice. Insane. Like, I went to school for 5 years and registered dietitian and a certified personal trainer.
Because of how we look. Or because of how you look, you're discredited.
Thanks, I'm a woman, but we won't even get into that.
Did you see my recent TikTok?
Yes. I
was hoping it got more traction. I'm like,
it needs to.
I'm like, this.
Maybe I'll do edit. I'll do edit.
I was like, this. I am willing to be the person to talk about this.
Well, have you seen like the whole nursing cap salary thing recently?
Oh my.
Same thing, because of the women dominated field.
I'm literally like, why are we not capping CEOs? Why are we not capping the billionaires? They don't need that much. Jeffrey Bezos, he's not listening to this podcast. Jeffrey Bezos, you don't need that. You don't need to make, like, I think it was 37,000 over like 17 minutes. That's what he makes.
Well, if he was a nurse, there would be no cap on nursing or a dietitian. Yeah, we won't bring gender into this right now, even though I just did. Well,
the whole nursing thing, though, is like, they'll probably come for us next. Cap us at 25,000.
20.
Like, you thought you were making a lot. Jokes on you.
Anyway. Those were great quotes that really sent me into a spiral already.
Yeah. There is a history of body weight and perception of health in class, or wealth in class. Hundreds of years ago, history is my worst subject, so like, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but way back in the day, body weight was seen as a representation, like having a representation of weight was seen as positive. It meant like you could afford nice foods, you could like, you had a lot of money to afford like wine. Like, it's depicted all the time in a lot of art, I know, where like a lot of the women are of larger bodies, or they're like holding like a wine chalice, or like,
yeah,
squeezing grapes.
Yeah, I can picture that. Yeah.
Yeah. it used to be depicted as like higher weight, more wealthy, because you had more access to food, fancy foods. Come to common day, 2022, 21st century, the narrative has switched. Now, thin is considered upper class. And the reason why, you might be wondering why, like, why is kind of, how did it switch? Because, and this is something that I want you to think about a lot. Now, you know, I'm talking to the people.
You know, you take this in and you think about it.
You listen to me. No, because this is something that I think when I heard it the first time, like a couple months ago, it just like blew my mind. But thin is now associated with upper class because it signifies that you have the spare time to think about what you eat. It signifies you have the time to prepare food. You have the time to exercise and you have the funds to buy fresh, whole, the quotes are not processed. I'm getting rid of that. Fresh whole foods.
Yeah. The funds.
People don't, this is not something that's thought about a lot. Having the accessibility part of it is something I know we both talk about a lot on social media. People don't have access to fresh groceries every week. That can be really expensive. People don't have access to all these like just like even grocery shop.
No, I have patients who have to base their grocery trip on when they get their paycheck because they need the gas to get to the grocery store.
Yes. They can't afford to buy all the fancy products to make sure they're eating the rainbow every day and that they're having the highest quality meat or their highest quality protein. They also don't always have the time. That's something I see a lot of is people don't have the time because they're working multiple jobs.
And I believe that
families. Oh yeah.
It's not an excuse. Like
no,
for some it is, but for most people, like time is
Time is not, valuable. We do not all have the same 24-hour days. I say that all the time.
I mentioned that in my calorie deficit video. Like those 19-year-old gym bros, oh, you have time to go to the gym for an hour? No. Like, not me, but like, I have 5 kids and like, I work 2 jobs. I'm a single mom. Like, no, I don't.
No, it's very different. And time is a huge resource that people don't think about. Also money. I feel like money is always there's this whole like, don't talk about money thing. Money plays a huge part in this. I will talk about money all day and every day.
Buy happiness. Like,
yeah. Like you can
don't get me started on
you
that.
You can have a lot. No, yeah, we won't get into that. But it plays, especially in it from a nutrition standpoint, not having to worry about how much you're buying, not having to worry about feeding your family, not having to worry about if you're even gonna have time to cook or like do you have to stop by somewhere to pick up something. These are things that not everyone has, but since there is this association with them people having, I feel like it's always, they call it like the it girl, the it girl on social media, or like they wake up early, they do their intentions, they have like their yoga, they do their green juice, they go to their workout class, and then they go shower, and then they go make breakfast, and by that time it's noon, and I'm like,
yes,
you have a job. But their job is being an it girl,
to be the it girl.
That is their job. You get paid to influence, they get brand deals and stuff like that.
Yes.
Which is not to say they're bad people.
I would love that job.
I would love to wake up and work
and like,
out. And
I know it's hard work. Like being a content creator is very tough. Like it's hard. And a lot
I would love that. But not everyone has the same accessibility to those types of foods. Not everyone has that type of time to spend like half their day working out.
Not everyone wants to. Like some people really like working a 9-to-5 and having their family they get to hang out with when they get home.
Yeah.
Like not everyone wants to be an it girl who's spending 2 hours in the gym and moisturizing their entire body for 2 hours after they come home. Like not everyone wants that life. And so we need to start making that like the ideal or like what everyone has to aspire to.
Yeah. The idea. Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I was just sighing.
Yeah, it is. We haven't gotten to examples of
Examples and the dangers.
Let's get to it.
Examples. Okay. First one, we talked about this in the BMI episode, yeah. But this first example is when your doctor tells you that weight loss will solve any of your problems. They just like dismiss your cough or your sore throat that you have, because if you just lost weight, you wouldn't have any of these issues. I hear this one all the time, all the time. Yeah. And I see it on TikTok too, but like even personally with my patients, I hear this all the time. That's how they get into our door at Weight Management, is because their doctor made them come simply because they saw that their BMI was a whatever number. And they just like don't listen to them sometimes.
No.
Like, they just like,
yeah, they're completely
straight up tell them like lose weight. And the advice, oh, this gets me so mad. The advice that they tell them for weight loss, first of all, shouldn't even be talked about. Like they have a specialist, me or my entire clinic they can refer to, mm-hmm. but instead this patient comes to get an antibiotic or whatever. They're told to lose weight. And to do that, they're told to do Weight Watchers, do Optavia, eat 1200 calories. Like the doctors try to give the patients weight loss advice, and it's always terrible because these primary care doctors have to know everything about every disease ever, essentially, to be a primary care family doctor. And so of course they have terrible weight loss advice. That's not their specialty, or nutrition in general. Well, we don't even get into that, how doctors don't go to school for nutrition. But that happens all the time too, is then I have to like undo it, but they don't believe me, the dietitian, because the doctor is a higher authority. And so the doctor always knows better than the dietitian who works at Weight Management. But that's a me problem. It's not even a fat phobia problem. That's just me hating healthcare in general.
Yeah, it is.
It's infuriating. Like I had one yesterday who was like, or not yesterday, today's Monday, last week, who her doctor said to do Weight Watchers. So what are your thoughts on this? My doctor told me I should do this. And I was like, no, you're seeing a dietitian. Like, why would you ever go to do Weight Watchers?
Yeah.
Oh. But it's because it's the doctor would see Weight Watchers as being an easy fix to this patient's weight problem, which is the biggest problem they have, according to that doctor. And so it's just an easy fix so they can move on to the next patient. And that makes patients, we said this last time too, not want to go to the doctor because they know they'll just get lectured about their weight the whole time.
Yeah. Which luckily I've seen that a lot of current like med students or newer doctors have kind of more of an open mind around weight, which that is good to see, because I feel like we always have to preface this in every single episode we ever talk about weight. We're not telling you that. Like there are risks with both sides of the weight spectrum.
Yeah.
But also we know as dietitians that having higher body fat percentage comes with some risks.
Yeah.
But that's not equivalent to weight always.
No.
It's not.
Like we said last time in the BMI episode, you could be a BMI of 30, but be a bodybuilder who has like 2% body fat.
Yeah.
So weight is not
always
the indicator.
Yeah, let's, okay. Next example of fat phobia. So.
This one's good. This one's so good.
It makes me.
It's so good. Well, so bad, but like, it's such a good point.
It made me think of this because a certain podcast we both listened to reminded me of this, that past drama thing. We were talking about like a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. That is why I thought about this one, but also, yeah. So an example of fat phobia is when anyone, healthcare professional or any random person tells someone, any individual of any size, not to do something, even if it's in their best interest and will better their overall well-being. They're telling someone not to do this because they might end up gaining weight. Even if they might be happier if they do this thing, even if they their mental health might improve, even if like they have something if they have like a mental health thing going on, they might gain some weight.
Yes.
Telling someone not to do something only because it might cause them gain weight is fatphobic.
Let's give the example. We won't maybe name names, but the example.
Okay,
if you guys have heard of F Factor, we'll let you do a little deep dive on that. We could do a whole series on that one.
Yeah.
But the example could be perhaps telling someone not to take like an antidepressant because it has a side effect of weight gain, even though that antidepressant could
literally
so positively impact their mental health. Yes, save their life.
Yeah.
Like, but because it might cause weight gain,
yeah,
it's frowned upon. And that happens a lot. I hear that one a lot too. Patients like won't want to take any psych meds because of the side effects of weight gain. Yeah. But their mental health is garbage. The entire visit, they're crying. Like, yes.
And we've talked about this where like mental health is just as important as physical health.
Oh yeah.
And I don't even know what episode we talked about in. They're like, I'm trying to remember what episode. I don't remember. There are too many. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And we talk about a lot of similar or common themes, but even if someone is in the best physical state of their life, they're like so muscular and their body fat's so low, they don't have their cholesterol's within normal limits, like their blood sugar is stabilized, but they are having, I keep thinking, I'm like, I need to put trigger warnings for these things, like trigger warning suicide, so skip ahead a little bit, but they could be in the best physical shape of their life and they could be on the brink of like committing suicide.
Yes.
And but people will be like, no,
at least they're thin.
Yeah, they must be doing so well because they like, look so well put together.
How could they want to commit suicide if they have hashtag body goals? Yeah,
it is.
Or it's like kind of along with this. This isn't like the whole like medication side of it as much, but like if someone is like doing a diet and they're being quote unquote successful with it and then being told they should keep doing that diet just because they are quote unquote successful and losing weight, but their mental health is garbage. Their relationship with food is garbage. That one I see in my comments all the time. They're like, like just yesterday I posted a video about how obsessively counting calories is rarely helpful for people. The comments were terrible. It always goes to the wrong side of TikTok.
Oh, so I was like, gonna say, I thought I was like, if it's on Instagram, they're normally supportive.
Instagram, my Instagram people, I love you guys.
They're so nice on
there. TikTok. My community is great, but the problem with TikTok is it goes into the feed of anybody, and so TikTok decides who sees it.
Unfortunately, attract a lot of
hate. But anyway, I was saying how like obsessively counting your calories is a very negative thing for most people, and the comments are like, yeah, but it helped me lose weight, so that's why I do it. Like, yeah, maybe you lost weight, but like your mental health is trash,
so yeah. And now you potentially could have like a terrible relationship with your body, a terrible relationship with food for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
But you lost weight.
Or like in that same video, I mentioned how like weighing yourself daily is often not healthy because that is also very obsessive. And everyone's like, well, I have to know my weight or else I don't know like what foods I'm going to choose that day. I'm like, that's a big red flag. But like, I just use it as like a data point. Like, I just like have to know. I'm like, what does that tell you? Like the number on the scale shouldn't affect anything in your daily life.
It affects again, my mood, like, makes me upset.
What does Brendan say? It's just a machine. What does he call it? He calls the scale like some kind of like metal machine or something.
He calls it like robots or something.
Oh, a robot, yes.
Yeah.
Says don't trust the robots.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine, anyway, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, you have more to say? Go ahead.
This is not even real. I was like, imagine if a weight, like a scale company, like purposely skewed their, like, you know how bad that'd be if they like made you like 5 pounds heavier.
Well, this is another thing. Patients come all the time and they'll come at the end of the day where they've had 3 meals and not pooped all day. And they'll be like, oh, what the heck? I was 6 pounds less this morning on my home scale. It's like, your scale's broken. I'm like, first of all, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't even want to weigh you, but I have to because the doctor says so. And I have to like put it in your chart. But second of all, it is 4 p.m. You've eaten all day. You've drank all day. You probably haven't pooped since this morning. Like, of course you got 6 pounds of extra whatever sitting on your body.
Yeah.
But every time I'm like, I don't have time for that conversation. Every single time I'm like, okay, great. I'll take note of that. It's infuriating. So that's actually already happening with scales. They're all very different, but also like Anyway, this is even
fat phobia. Though no, we're getting off track.
Yes. Okay. The next example of fat phobia is being constantly, we already went over this, constantly bullied in person and online for their size and even discriminated against. Like this one is like not even.
It's not even just with food. It's
literally
just existing.
Yes.
Like Drew Afualo, she made a video. There's this one creator who she's just like in a larger body and her husband's like, I think he's like, says something with like weightlifting and like, she gets so much hate. She gets so much hate because she's like, they're like, you should leave her. And like, oh my gosh, you're putting up with this person. And like a lot meaner things than what I'm just saying. Like I'm saying the nice ones,
yeah,
like the nicer ones of the things being said. And luckily Drew has taken a lot of those people down, but like, she can't defend them all.
Right. And like,
and she's just, they're just in love. That's what they post. They post about how they're in love and they're like super cute. And
like, how does it affect you?
It does nothing.
Oh.
Like if I see this like, joke all the time online, and people are like, do you even like women? Like, you know, like the types of, it's, I rarely see women, but we're not going to make overarching generalizations, but it's the insecure men. You know, if this does not apply to you because you've never done these things, so you don't have to worry about it. But to the insecure men out there who probably don't listen to our podcast because they probably don't,
they would hate our podcast.
They probably don't think we know anything except what, like, stupid girl dietitians.
Women dietitians.
But like, these insecure men, and it's I'm just specifically thinking of this example, but like, they'll see a man like in a fitter perceiving body with a larger woman and they'll be like, why'd you do that to herself? And like,
like, you're stooping to her level. Like, that chick could be way out of his league. You don't even know.
You don't even deserve her. And like, right. why do you feel the need to, like, he doesn't care what you think. I promise you, he does not care. Like, he's not gonna pick you, he's not gonna be your friend, he's not gonna like invite you over to hang out,
right.
He's not gonna give you his exercise regimen or whatever. He's not gonna give you, I don't even know what you want from him. Like, what do you want from him? Right. I don't get it,
right? And like, even if Drew like did lose weight to satisfy people's needs, like, how would that benefit them? They would get nothing from that. Like, it'd still be the same relationship with the same, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, doing whatever thing. Like,
I said that story weird. It was a different girl I was talking about that was in a larger body, but Drew also gets a ton of hate. Drew also gets so much hate.
Gotcha.
It was a different girl, but like, same exact thing. Like,
right. Like, even if Drew did conform,
they both work out a ton. They work out so much. And they're so, she like deadlifts, like, no, she hip thrusts like 300 something pounds. And I'm like, you could sock me in the, like, she never probably never would, but like, she's so strong.
Yes.
And it's just so annoying to me. It's so annoying to me how like the automatic insult for any time any,
it's just, like, I'm just going after men.
It's like, I mean, dude, well, you're fat, so like,
what do,
that's,
you know,
literally every time I went, did I tell you once how I got a like, you're fat hate comment? And it like made no sense to me. I showed my face. Like,
yes, that's the thing too. Like with mine. You
know? Oh, and I was like,
I've gotten so many body, like, comments.
What? Yeah. Like, and I'm like,
it's usually my shoulders up. Like,
I was like, you do not want to get in a fight with me because I will make you cry. But like, why is that your,
it's because they have no other argument.
No, like, you're,
and they have to like say something mean.
Yeah, it's just, so many people need to go to therapy. That is my overarching recommendation for everyone. If you find yourself being miserable and having to make other people miserable, go to therapy.
Like, you're allowed to like be sad and upset and angry sometimes, but like, taking it on others is a whole other ball game.
Yeah, your emotions are completely valid. Like, you just, why are,
like,
you,
there's probably a reason that you're being so mean, but like,
yeah, there's always something
that's shitty.
Yeah. And don't take it out on others who did nothing to you.
Right. who are just like posting on the internet because they like to post on the internet.
Yeah.
That's the thing too. It's like some accounts, they don't ask for it. No one deserves to be like, get those comments. But like, I post very controversial things, so I can kind of expect some terrible comments. Like if I was just like posting, like, I don't know, if I was in a larger body and just posting like my outfit that day, there is no need. It's not controversial at all.
And the comments are awful. It's always like giving unsolicited health advice or being like,
just being a calorie deficit.
Or like one of the ones that makes me most mad is people are like, you should wear clothes that like better, like better
fit their shape or something.
Yes. Like they like accept, like fits your body type better.
Or you look better if you were like
something like that. And I'm like, just let people live their lives.
Right.
Like
we're all gonna die. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like if that person wants to wear some low-rise skinny jeans, let them wear some low-rise skinny jeans. Yeah. Like chill out.
Yeah. The internet makes me upset. But then again, I know there's a lot of nice people on there. It's just, unfortunately, I feel like there's just a lot, the people that post the hate are much more confident in what they post, and the nice people just like the video and move on with their life, because that's what you should do.
And I feel like we're exposed to it a lot because we talk about this kind of stuff and it's very controversial. Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. I put this one on and I want to hear your opinion, because this is like, I feel like this is a controversial opinion, and I don't even know if like I'm just being like sensitive or like what it is. So, examples of fat phobia. Pitch Perfect, you probably have heard of it at some point. It's a trilogy about a cappella women's group. Great.
Yeah.
There's a character called Fat Amy, and that always calling her Fat Amy made me so uncomfortable. It made me so uncomfortable. I'm like, I've never heard of a character called like Thin Lucy, Thin Molly.
Thin Lucy.
Like that's, I've never heard of that, but like Fat Amy, that was her name. Why couldn't we just call her Amy?
Right.
Like, I want to hear your opinions on this. Cause like Janelle, as you know, I'm very opinionated, and I can't tell if like, I'm just being like overly sensitive about it or like overly hyper aware about it, or it's like actually like weird.
I think that the reason I feel uncomfortable has changed. Like when I had heard that name in the past, I was uncomfortable, but I think it's because I thought that fat was bad. And so back then I hated that whole name of Fat Amy because I was like, oh, it's bringing attention to a really bad thing. I don't like conflict. That's just like, not even talk about it. But now I don't like it because it's like discriminating her for being in a bigger body, even though she could be living a very healthy life and all those things you just talked about. And so I think the reason why that makes someone uncomfortable is important to note. And I think my reason, because I've always not liked it either, but I think the reason why has adjusted as I've like changed my views on all this.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like I would never call any of my, I know it's like fictional. No, it's like not real. I know that.
Oh, but here comes Fat Hannah. Like, no.
No, but like there are young girls. I say girls because, excuse me. They tend to be more susceptible to like, body image issues and stuff like not to say the guys aren't, their mental health in men and like boys is not talked enough about, especially with eating disorders and stuff like that.
Yes.
But right now I'm focusing on like Fat Amy. There are probably young girls that watch that and they're like, I don't know if they were trying to like, I don't know what the purpose was around.
I mean, it was in the era where like, I mean, it's always been like thin is best, but like that
I feel like there were extreme. Like fat phobic jokes in the Pitch Perfect movies. I didn't listen to the, I didn't watch them frequently because after the first one, like kind of the jokes were a bit like too edgy for my preference.
Yeah.
But it was just like, weird to me because I want to see a character then. Let's see medium-sized Susie. Like, we're gonna say all these things. Like, let's start naming everyone.
Let's just like call them by their pant sizes. Why don't we get size 14 Kathy out here and see what she can offer?
Be so bad.
That's how like modeling is, right? Like, you have to like fit in a certain size. Or
modeling. We should do a modeling episode.
We should do a modeling episode. Not that we have any experience in modeling. At least I don't. Do you?
No.
Okay, I was like, do you have like a secret life as a model I don't know about? We've never talked about it before.
I love watching modeling drama videos. So I love that. That's how I get my education, my exposure. But yeah, I feel like it's just like unnecessary overall to like even put that label there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, our last example, even though there's thousands more, we haven't even like thought of or put on here. This one I see a lot too, as someone who does have pediatric patients. Oof. Okay. Just the whole idea of putting a kid on a diet. That's the problem.
I hate
seeing pediatric patients because I work in weight management and it's expected of me to put that patient on like a diet, give them a calorie goal, tell them what to do. I cannot do that.
I feel like it's ethically wrong.
Yeah.
Scratch that, because that's gonna indicate what patient I'm talking about. Uh-huh. I've had experiences where I've had conversations with parents about wanting to put, they always ask me, are you familiar with the latest fad? They don't say fad diets, but I translate it in my head to fad diets. Are you like, do you have experience with putting, like doing calorie counting? Do you experience with things? I'm like, yes, I do. But your child is in one of the most important, like, from age zero, once you come of that womb to like 22, I would say you're a huge period. Like, that's a huge growth period. That is setting you up for essentially the rest of your life and what's going to happen with your body.
What you're exposed to, what you like learn and gather, like that's your base.
Yeah. And also, teenagers and adolescents are in some of the highest risk for eating disorder. I will never put a child on a restrictive diet. The biggest thing I would do is be like, let's eat more vegetables and fruit, or like, let's increase physical activity, let's try to get some movement in. Like, things like that. That were just,
that's
like
what I do with my patients. Yes.
Yeah, like, you can do it. That's applicable for the rest of your life. It's not like, it's just trying to get like, it's typically just trying to include more variety and movement. But no. Oftentimes it is the parents have a history of disordered eating.
It's always
the parents. They are projecting onto their child. It's
always the parents.
Like, which I'm like, I'll see you both and we can work.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, it's basically a fight between the dietitian, the kid, and the parent. Like, everyone's just
that is hostile. That is another thing that I don't think we've ever talked about, but like, just, we do not learn how to, the only reason I have mediation skills is because I was an RA. We do not have mediation skills with parents and their children.
It's so bad. I hate it.
There are no, like, anything is in the realm. Like, it's so,
no, I've had a parent awkward. Or a kid like cuss out their parent like right in front of me, like just like start yelling at them and like cussing at them,
and you're just like,
just eat some veggies please, like I don't know what to do in the situation. Oh, it's so bad. I do not like seeing kids.
I like seeing kids, not for weight loss,
not for weight management. I'm also like not a parent, so I don't know what kids like, so I'm super awkward with like 6-year-olds. I'm like, what phase of life are you in? Like, are you like making dinners yet? Like, where are we in life?
I didn't tell you this, but people who might find this funny, I had a, I don't even think they were in elementary school yet, for like some, like they had food sensitivities. And the kid, I have a dietitian voice. I have a lot of also dietitian lingo. I speak in a very specific way when I'm talking to patients. That is not how I normally speak. That's just like how it's like almost like customer service voice, but it's like transitioned into like professional dietitian voice.
Yes.
And I say absolutely a lot. It's just like something with active learn, like that, like active listening. I've like integrated. I was like, I'm very challenged right there. But it's something that I just include a lot in how I talk. Mm-hmm. And halfway through the session, the kid's like, "You say absolutely so much." And I was just like sitting there, I'm like,
they're so honest.
They're brutal. And I was like, luckily it was like, actually, it wasn't like it was that mean. It wasn't mean. It was just, I was like shell-shocked because no parent, also like, asking, this is, we're going off track, but we're talking about it, the way you ask questions is so different.
Yes.
Like I can't say like bowel movements, I can't say things like
how are your boobies,
yeah. That like, yes. Like fatigue, can't say really things like that.
Yeah.
Appetite, that's kind of hard even to like
mental health, like you can't like, just no, say like how's your mental health.
Yeah. And I'm like, how are your stress levels? As I ask like a 5-year-old. And they're like,
did you break any crayons today? Tell me that.
Yeah. It's just wild. It's, the difference. Which makes me appreciate like pediatric, like specialties.
Me too.
You gotta speak in a certain way. It takes a special person.
You're so right though. Like I have a completely different like dietitian voice. Like I close that exam room door and I'm like, a totally different person.
Yeah. The closest I came to realizing it was I actually gave some, like I did some educations with my family, but I don't talk to them in my dietitian voice, but I use the same phrasing because I was doing like similar education. And they're like, why do you sound so like dead and unenthusiastic? And I was like, I can't summon that voice with you. Like,
yeah.
It's
oh my gosh, I have to be like so peppy. It's disgusting. I'm exhausted when I get home. I'm talking like this for like 8-9 hours. Oh, it's so exhausting.
I know.
And like I'm a cheerleader all day long, which I love to do, but it is like very exhausting.
Yeah.
Okay, once again, we got a topic.
I feel like we're so
good
long
news
into this episode.
That was, I know we've been recording forever. That was the last example we have. So now we're gonna get into the dangers of fat phobia now that we've gone through examples.
Yes.
Emily, I feel like you had a very special way of going over this first one. So why don't you take it away?
Yes. So issues with fat phobia. It is more intense towards women. And maybe you're like, Emily, you're just saying men are awful. No. I got the evidence. I'm sure you've heard of the dad bod, and it is like people like, I don't even know what situations, I don't really hear this as often anymore, but people are like, would you prefer someone like who is ripped, or would you prefer someone with a dad bod? And like, it's a guy who like is a little fluffier, isn't like, and just like, that's it. They're just like a little bigger.
Yeah.
But it's like very kind of normalized, and in some, like oftentimes people are like, oh yeah, I prefer dad bods. No, women cannot have the same things.
I know you've heard that podcast snippet of the guy who said his wife has to like get in shape after having the kid. We have not talked about this
yet. I have so many opinions about men who just like make expectations for their wives. I have.
Well, he's not even married. He's probably single dude living in his mom's house. Like he's not.
No, he is. They confirmed that. No. Okay. They confirmed he was like, they did that episode like in like his mom's living room or something like that.
Oh, he's not married. Okay.
No. But like he's living with his mom.
But he's not getting a wife. That's the way he's gonna treat her.
No, like the thing. This like goes back to what we were saying before. Like when you say things like this, do you expect people to be attracted to you?
Like do you are expect women going to be like flocking towards you for like, being oh my their gosh, motivator? He's going to be my rock when I have a baby, making sure that I'm getting back into the gym.
Yeah. Like there's this one girl, I don't know her name, but like she like totally ruins these people, like talking about like, are you supporting her? Like, are you also taking care of the kid? Like, are you giving her the time and space? Like, is she's like all those like the like a lot of the accessibility things we've talked about, like having to like time, whatever it is. But no, the perceptions of what a woman should look like. There's like the ideal body type is always changing, but currently it's like thin, super thin waist, breast size. I don't know where it's at right now.
I can't give up that one. I think
that one alternates. But then like also like wide hips, or like wider hips, but like toned body, like everything has to be small.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you still have to be curvy. But if you have. I've seen so many videos where they're not even that, and they're not even big. Like the like girls and the women aren't big.
Just normal, not even normal, that's the wrong word, but just like mid-sized women.
Yes, that's a good term to call it. Like mid-sized, and they get hated on for how they look. And they're like, maybe you should skip a meal. Like
because they're not stiff thin.
No, because they're not like looking like a Victoria's supermodel who a lot of his genetics, a lot of it is they have access to top personal trainers. A lot of it is like they have access and time to like those like more nutrient dense foods. They don't have.
And a lot of them have disordered eating.
Yeah. A lot of them have really bad relationships with food, but like, it's just, there is a huge double standard essentially. That's like what it is just kind of both like, all people can experience fat phobia. Everyone can experience it.
Yeah.
But there's a discrepancy.
Yes. We could not talk about this topic without bringing up gender or like race. Those both
play a role with this. No, we cannot.
Which is our next one.
I'm glad we talk about, because I feel like people don't talk about these things. It's like, no. You know how people are always like, don't bring up politics and don't bring up religion. It's like people don't want to talk about race. Well, guess what? If you've made it this far along, you know we will talk about the racial inequities in healthcare and life. And
that's something I've been like learning along the way too. Like there's been this whole movement. I don't know how to put it in the right words. Like the anti-diet movement and how, I'm going to put this in the wrong words. I don't even know if I want to say it, because I'm just going to like not give it justice.
Say it and then we could take it out.
Okay, yes. You know, like it's what your RD BFF is all about right now. How like white women are like dominating the anti-diet movement, but not even talking about the discrepancy or like the problems with like race and the reason why we even have a diet culture to begin with.
Yes. And this is something that I also, we can feel free to take this out, but it's something that I'm more familiar with. And I feel like it's because I am a partial person of color, but there are specific individuals or a specific type of individuals that experience some type of discrimination, but then they also have privilege. And white women is one of those where, in the totem pole race, white people are at the top. But then in the totem pole of like gender and like sex, men are at the top. So like kind of the people that fall between these, like they're kind of in two different things, are like black men and white women. Those are like the two like more common ones I've like seen a lot of discussions about. And it is a real issue because the anti-diet space is 100% dominated by white women.
Yeah.
But I have yet to see like any talk about the racial issues in dietetics or diet culture,
which needs to be addressed so badly.
Yes. Like I see like all these like Like I said, kind of count because I'm half white. So, but I see all these like dietitians of color talk about it, but they're not, they don't get as many followers because they're not like what, I don't know what it's perceived as like the ideal. And I don't even know if like that's right at all what I just said, but like, and from a sense of like a health guru, like they might not be as, I guess, I don't even know if it's that. Maybe it's just like white privilege. It might just be white privilege. It might just be it.
Yeah. It could just be as simple as that. Like,
yeah.
They just get more followers, like just because they have white privilege.
It's so, and that's something that isn't just in dietetics. It's on like social media.
Oh.
Where it is, I follow a bunch of like POC creators. And they, like, so many of them aren't verified and they have millions of followers. Wow. But, like, there are, I've seen a lot of mediocre people, mediocre white people that just exist, don't really do much. And they, like, gain millions of followers by doing sometimes nothing. Like, sometimes literally just, like, lip singing links. We've talked about this, like, just, like, standing there and being, and this is something I put in here, but standing there and being conventionally attractive.
Oh, I always say this. If I was like conventionally super hot, can you imagine the followers?
You'd have so many followers.
Like,
not to say like, it's not like you're not attractive.
I'm not,
like,
I don't think I'm not, yeah, I'm,
but it's, I don't like, hate myself. But it's like, not, you don't, if you don't fit the like cookie cutter,
yes,
conventionally attractive appearance,
yes,
which is like thin white blonde girl. I feel like that's like sometimes, yeah, brunette, sometimes I throw brunettes in there. But yeah,
it ain't the gingers, I'll tell you that. We are not the standard. We're a special, yeah, breed.
But I feel like we like started talking about this next bullet point, but didn't, yes, actually, like, the reason we talked about all these things is because higher weight people of color face both stigmatization around their weight and what they look like based off their race. And this is seen in like the wage gap. This is seen in medical discrimination and so many like aspects of life.
Well, like, it doesn't get talked about. It just, like,
no,
happens, and then, like, nothing comes of it.
No one wants to have a discussion about it. Or, like, people do have discussions about it, and people don't want to talk about it. Because it's, yes, easier,
because everyone's, just, like, avoid, just split in the middle, and, like, everyone, this is something, too, not even like necessarily to this point, but it proves this point. People are so stuck in their ways. Like, I will, if someone comments on my TikTok something that is just like not what I agree with, or it's just straight up wrong, it's not even that it's my opinion, it's just infactual, like canola oil is bad or whatever, if you try to convince them otherwise, they will never change their mind. That's why it's not ever worth, yeah, fighting with someone on TikTok, no, or any social media.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that saved me a lot of time, honestly, when I like texted you about it.
Yes, never change their mind.
No. And then it's like, why are we not, like, it's okay to be wrong. That's right. Something that's how we grow. Like, my opinions 10 years ago, probably some would be seen as like problematic in some senses. And right.
We just talked about this. Like,
yeah,
we may have viewed fat phobia completely different 10 years ago.
Yeah. This podcast episode would not be like how it was now. It would be so different.
I think even like 2 years ago, my views were probably completely different than they are now.
Oh,
Once I became a dietitian, I like completely flipped my views around. It was kind of a weird like turn of events, like all of a sudden.
It's just so different when you're like in it.
I think that's it. Like when you're in college becoming a dietitian, it's not talked about at all.
No, they don't talk about fat phobia. They don't talk about the racial inequities. They don't talk about like
diet culture, no, disordered eating that much. We talk about like the clinical side of like disordered eating and eating disorders and like what to do to make sure someone doesn't get like grief eating syndrome. Yeah. We don't talk about like who's at risk of that. Why were they at risk of that? Does their past family trauma cause that? How do we treat that? Should they see a therapist? Like, we don't learn any of that. And so you don't see it until you're in it.
Yeah.
And now that we're in it, it's like, what do we do about it? Besides trying to raise awareness, talk about it, and be a good
dietitian. One of the things I will note that I do not want to do is I do not want to rewrite the dietetics curriculum. That is not an ambition of mine. Because I was like, that'd be something that'd be good if, like, I was teaching, like, dietetic students.
Yeah, but the problem is that the academy is just white women who don't see the problem. And so it's going to always stay the same.
I looked at the candidates. I was like. The thing is, like, I don't, like, I have no desire to be on that board or anything like that.
Exactly.
But, like, I know, like, we need more representation.
But, like, the people just, who understand this stuff and, like, want to make the change, like, want the change to happen, don't want that kind of position because it's just, like, not in our wheelhouse.
No, I'd much rather just be, like, talking on, like, a podcast about these things. And
yes. Yeah. And that's like, what you're good at. Like, maybe it wouldn't even be beneficial for you to serve in that position.
Yeah.
But it would just be great if someone would be a good fit for that. I don't know. I don't know why it happens the way it happens. I don't know why it's always the same general group of people who are.
I'm hoping that as that. Like the types of dietitians and the generations of dietitian changes, we see some more representation.
I want some more men too. Like even at like where I work, I just think about like having some men would be so great.
Talk to like.
We just need diversity in like every aspect.
Yeah. Okay, we gotta keep going.
Oh my gosh, we're almost at like 2 hours. It's gonna be like our longest one. It's like episode 2 all over again.
I didn't realize we talked so much about this, but we don't want to say.
We've gotten really good at being quick and to the point. And yeah, today this one was just
no. It's a long time coming. The next danger with fat phobia. Is that weight stigma is associated with higher levels of anxiety. Oh, I just skipped something.
That's okay.
We'll get to that. Next one is, we're going to talk about this for a long time too.
Let's make this like a two-part episode maybe.
Yeah, let's cut it in half. And maybe we'll just do 2 bonus questions. Or should we just like...
Let's just like end at thin privilege and then we can like go back and like add a little clip to say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I think this should definitely be 2 things. The intro is going to be a little weird then, or we'll add a thing at the end in our outro. We'll be like, we realized we recorded this for so long, so we're making it 2 parts.
Yeah.
The next bullet point, next danger is pointing out that someone put on a couple of pounds or saying like, maybe you shouldn't be eating that doesn't help anyone.
No, we keep saying this. Like, what do you get from telling someone what they should or shouldn't be doing with their body?
You like, maybe there are good intentions. Like maybe you're genuinely concerned about their health, but like, trust us, diet culture and today's society with fat phobia intricated into itself, they know, like, they already probably feel awful about themselves already. Yes. Like, you don't have to add on top of it. It's not, and even if they are like happy with themselves, like, why are you trying to say something? You're implying that something is wrong with their weight or something is wrong with the things that they're eating and they need a change. That is not in your wheelhouse
The only ones should be commenting on their body. It shouldn't even be the healthcare providers. There's a spectrum of how much we should even be saying as like dietitians. Yeah. I would never tell someone, oh, you shouldn't be eating brownies because that'll make you gain weight. But especially like if I was like a friend, like I would never tell Emily that. But like even as like a healthcare provider, even then you shouldn't even be saying things like that.
No. And really way I could see this conversation like around that is maybe like if you have high like lipid levels or like there's like a lot of lab values that are off that like could be associated with like high body fat composition, be like, oh, maybe we should refer you to a dietitian and we can try incorporating more lifestyle changes to lower these lab values or like change these things, but not just explicitly saying like, you need to lose weight. Cause it's not just like, maybe they'll lose fat. No, maybe they'll lose muscle mass. We don't want that. Then they're going to get sarcopenia. And that's going to be like an issue. Like
sarcopenia. Yeah.
It's
just, don't ever comment on people's bodies. That's the bottom line here.
No,
it does not affect you in any way.
No, nothing good ever comes out of it.
No. And like Emily said, they probably know, like if
they probably have like either self-deprecating thoughts or like feelings of guilt after what they're eating, or like,
or they're confident and they know that they're allowed. Like in my instance, like if I'm eating a meal that's not the most nutritious, I know that most of the time I usually do. And so if I have pizza and you don't think that's something I should be having, I don't give an F if you don't like me eating pizza, because no. I'm confident in my choices. And that's only one thing that you saw me eating.
Yeah.
So yes, they either already feel bad about themselves and you're not helping, or it doesn't matter because they're allowed to eat that and it's not going to affect them in any way or you. Okay. Yes. Okay. Let's do the last one. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. Weight stigma is associated with higher levels of anxiety, depression, poor body image, and poor self-esteem. So kind of like that with that last one a little bit. People who have been told their whole life that their body is bad or wrong, or maybe they don't fit into plain seats or benches or whatever, that experience fat phobia in whatever way, or weight stigma in whatever way, that can lead to higher levels of anxiety, depression, poor body image, all of that.
Like, their mental health isn't good. Right. And I don't know.
It's infuriating. I'm like, my blood is boiling today.
Yeah, it just is so, and it's so frustrating to like try to tell people like why. And like, and I know we talked about this on the opposite side of the spectrum, like complimenting weight loss. That messed me up. But it's like this, there's just don't comment people's bodies.
Like,
that's it. Like, say like, you can compliment them in other ways. Like, I love your energy. Like, being around you makes me happy. Like, I love your confidence. Like, and that's not even like, make sure it doesn't come off passive aggressive though, because I know that's a whole thing. But like,
your energy is so good today.
Like, I wish I, like the like backhanded compliments, like I wish I had your confidence to wear. Ugh. That. Like, don't say things like that.
No,
like,
obviously not.
Like, make it genuine. But there's just ways we can go about this.
Yeah.
So
let's get into that.
Yeah, let's get into, this is technically also, Hannah, I'm thinking we should just, we should upload Thin Privilege and then Fat Phobia the next week, because they go so closely together. Definitely. We'll just kind of move it around.
Yeah.
But let's talk about ways we can fight, this is Fat Phobia. I just added that on because it was a combo, but how to fight Fat Phobia. Number one, and this also is very closely associated with diet culture, I think how we combat that, drop the diet talk. We don't need to constantly be talking about what diet we're going on. We don't need to constantly be talking about diet starts on Monday. We don't need to be constantly talking about kind of how we're going to compensate for what we just ate, or how we're going to earn our food with exercise, how we're going to burn off brunch, all those things. We don't need to talk about that.
Like, that's so boring.
And also, like, no one's having a good time talking about that.
No, talk about, like, more important things, like, what are your dreams? Like, what do you, like,
what did you do today that made you happy? Like, yes. What are you doing for yourself that makes you happy?
How did that brunch make you feel? Like, was it really good?
Yeah, probably. What did you it's eat brunch. At it? Like,
did you get bottomless mimosas? Cool, you should have, because they're amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Another way to fight fat phobia is this one. You guys probably got the hint.
You didn't get it.
I'm going to say it very, very clearly. So listen up. Don't comment on other people's bodies. It doesn't help anybody. They've been in that body their whole life. They're well aware of what it looks like, what it's capable of, and what it's doing. Whatever you have to say does not matter. Or affect that body. Like, whatever. Okay, that's that one. You guys already knew that.
Yeah. Next one, kind of, we already talked about, but keep that unsolicited health advice to yourself.
For me, it's the calorie deficit thing right now. Like, every single video. It's
really true.
The word calorie deficit will never be the same to me. I know it's like a metabolic processes or whatever, but like now it's like a diet basically. Calorie deficit is a new diet to me and I just cannot handle it. Everyone just says to everybody on TikTok, just be in a calorie deficit, just be in a calorie deficit. Like, no, I have a whole 15 minute video on why it's terrible advice. I won't make this go on for 15 minutes.
It so you can go listen it to there.
But like, it doesn't help anybody. There's a million reasons why that is not going to help somebody.
No.
Any health advice you have is also probably wrong because you're not a dietitian or a doctor. Like, you're not a health professional. Like, you're an accountant in your 50s who's never at once actually learned about nutrition. You have no right to making health advice. And I actually mean accountant, not the slang for what an accountant sometimes
can be. Yeah.
Either one of those, though, shouldn't be talking about health advice.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is to speak up if you can. Just like Emily and I are very passionately talking about this today. At whatever level you can talk about it. Like, if you run for president, that's great. If you have your own little podcast.
I would die if a president talked about diet culture. Like,
I'd get my vote.
I'd be like, oh my God. Yes, let's talk. Let's take down the diet industry.
Yes. It should be a priority.
But something that maybe if you don't want to be president, or maybe if you don't want to make a podcast, something else as easy you can do. I actually was talking to one of my friends, and she was saying how she was talking, two of her friends were like super into keto, and like they were doing keto for whatever reason, and their third friend of the friend group was like not very like very like strongly opinionated. She was like kind of like go with whatever or whatnot, and she was like talking to my friend and she was like, maybe I'll do keto because like these other two are doing it and they're like loving it and super vocal about it. And my friend was actually like, because she listens to our podcast, she was like, did you know keto does this, this, and this, and this? Like, you, like, don't do that. Like, it's for, like, whatever reasons. Like, I think it was weight loss. Like, don't do it for a weight loss goal, essentially. Yeah. Like, it can be, like, even something like that. Like, just speaking up in conversations with, like, your friends, families. Like, this is how we get the conversation going. Like, I always, I think we've talked about this, but I feel good about, kind of, because we dietitians can talk about it all day, but if no one else outside of dietitians is going to talk about it, nothing's going to get done.
Yes, that's so true.
It's like as soon as whoever it is like starts bringing it up more and like, or like even confronting it in everyday conversation, that's when change is going to happen.
Yeah, because everyone knows that we hate it, but now it's like a matter of like getting that on road and upward.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Okay. Last one, or not last one, second to last one. I've kind of mentioned some personal ways I've done this, but audit your life and like check yourself. Because like I said, two years ago, I had probably done some things that were fat phobic. And like back then I didn't realize that they were. Or like I hadn't even like thought about how fat phobia, how it affected others. I was just worried about myself and like whatever life I was living and hadn't thought about how anyone else is struggling.
Yeah.
And so again, like you're not wrong if you've never thought of that. It's just maybe you've never had to worry about it.
Yeah.
So
now is like a good time to reflect on and kind of reflect on thin privilege, reflect on like fat phobia. Like, how can I better myself around these to make a more inclusive, kind of safe environment for others?
Yeah. Exactly.
The last point of how we can fight fat phobia is don't assume that fat people are fail thin people.
I love that one.
That does not. I don't know if I need to add anything to it. Like, I feel like it just speaks for, like, if you see someone in a larger body, that does not mean that they, like, are a failure of a person.
Yes. I just, like, I'm thinking of, like, TikTok is all I can think about during this episode, because I'm just, like, so drenched in these things. I see them all the time.
Yeah, it is. Scary time on there.
That's a really good one. I really like that one. Like, they're not, nope, doesn't need to be even, or like, continued to be explained. That it says it all.
So,
woo!
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll let you know it was originally recorded as one, but here we are. So, like
2 hours later.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed part two of our thin privilege fat phobia series.
Are we doing a bonus question?
I feel like we should do a bonus question.
This one is too intense. Let's get an easier one.
Yeah,
this one I could rant for like another 30 minutes. We don't need that today. Oh, Sid just ripped one. They're so bad.
Phineas.
This is not the time. Okay, bonus questions. Let's do the Starburst one that Andy like freaking
ignored.
Went haywire about. Yeah, okay. Best Starburst flavor. That one should be easy. Okay, time for the bonus question. Nice easy one today. Nice and simple, since we probably just like, I'm exhausted after talking about all that. Like, I just feel so fired up. I need to nap.
Yeah.
So anyway, final our bonus question is, what is the best Starburst flavor? This one can't be that controversial. There's only four of them.
Emily? Pretty sure I have a controversial.
Oh, boy. Okay. Is it yellow? It's yellow? How did I just know? When you said controversial, I knew it was yellow because it's the worst one.
I love yellow Starburst.
I have to say, I love lemon stuff, so it's good.
It's so good to me. Next one is red after that. Like the deep.
Where do you put pink? Is that third or fourth?
Third. I hate orange.
I love orange.
That's why I love eating Starburst with other people, because no one wants yellow. And I'm like, I'll take them all. I just like, I don't know. I don't eat a lot of lemon things. It's just, they're so, I don't want to say, they're not refreshing. But
they're like, kind of are. They're like juicy a little bit.
Yeah. I like the citrus.
Well, you probably could have assumed this, but Ross likes lemon and like the yellow ones.
Yeah, since we have the same opinions.
I'm realizing that everyone I like am friends with like have similarities to my husband. I think I just like know who I like, and those are my friends. You find- and then I like married one of them. That was the dude. Nice. So if I was into women, I probably would have married one of my like lady friends, because that's like what I'm into, I guess. mine is pink. I have like the stereotypical, like the pink is the best.
That's like, yeah.
That's what everyone has, good. I think. It's so good. But I like the lemon. I like them all besides the red, honestly. For me, red's the last one. Obviously, I eat the reds, but
right.
They're just not the best.
Yeah. Okay. I also don't like orange flavored things. So
I love orange.
That's a me problem.
Yeah, it is. Is pink strawberry? I don't even know what flavor it is.
And I'm pretty sure red is cherry.
I got Ross loves Starburst and like chewy fruity things. So I got him like these ones from the UK before, of course. Oh yeah, you do, don't you? I got him these ones from the UK, and they had like black currant, some from the UK. This is the podcast. Please tell me how I would just say that. A couple other flavors that like were just like not really like very typical American. They're pretty good. I got them on Amazon or something, I think.
Oh, cool. I never think to order food off Amazon.
I think I was like really desperate for like a gift. And so I was like looking for like really random like candies. I'm the worst gift giver in the world. I hate giving gifts because I never know what to give. I also hate receiving gifts because I don't like giving gifts. And then I feel guilty about receiving a gift. Yeah. So if you want to give me a gift, just spend time with me. That's why I like quality time is my love language.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Ooh, that could be a bonus question. What's your love language? I'm writing that down.
Ooh, yeah.
Now you guys all know mine, so that will be an easy one too. That would be a... Love language.
Have you ever heard there's like ways you give love and there's like lives you like ways you like to receive love?
Okay.
So we can talk about that. Because mine are very different.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that now because I wonder how I give love. I feel like it's probably the same that I want to receive it. I don't know. I'll think about that for that episode. Okay,
cool. Yeah. Do a quiz on it or something.
Yes, I should.
Cool.
Also, I'll ask you this when we're done. Okay. This needs to be done.
Yeah. We need to end this.
Yes.
We've held you against your will long enough. We'll let you be free to do whatever it is you want to do now with your life. Hopefully fight fat phobia.
Yeah.
Join the fight.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to part two of this episode. It ended up being a two-parter. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in on this episode of the Upbeat Dietitians with your hosts, Emily Krause and Hannah Thompson.
We appreciate you all so much for continuing to support us. In order to support us and sustain the success of this podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and review.
If you'd like to provide us feedback for future episodes and guest stars, follow us on Instagram at The Upbeat Dietitians.
Lastly, you can show us support by providing a monthly donation using the link at the end of our bio.
Once again, thank you so much for listening today and stay tuned next Wednesday for a new episode. Until then, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.